TPR tells the stories of our city, our struggles and our triumphs. Leaving a legacy gift to Texas Public Radio helps keep those stories alive. Find out how to create your legacy at tpr.org/legacy.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. 1 in 31 children is on the autism spectrum. When autism occurs in the Latino community, it's often misunderstood and diagnosed late. Studies conducted by the National Institute of Health found that an autism diagnosis led to feelings of embarrassment or even rejection by extended family. Angelina Dumaro is a Salvadoran immigrant, a mother, and an advocate. Her son Frank was 3 when he was diagnosed. Dumaro had to navigate her cultural norms and having her family realize that Frank wasn't sick, he was just different. Frank is now 18, a high school graduate and a freshman at a community college. To celebrate his story, Dumaro wrote a children's book told through the voice of a 7-year-old Frank. Dumaro says Franquisito's world celebrates neurodiversity, inclusion, and Latino culture. Dumaro, who served as a public servant and as a journalist, explains why she felt she needed to write a children's book about Frank.
It came time to give him a gift for his graduation. I was like, what can I give him that will come from my heart? And then I said, why don't I just write him a children's book? When I started writing it, it was so healing. I went back, and just as a true journalist, because that's what my background is in, I started, you know, rereading IEPs from when he was in kinder, when he was in first grade, when he was in third grade. It just took me back to a very special place and time.
What are IEPs?
IEPs, individual educational plans. So children with special needs usually have an IEP. That's where the whole, you know, premise of like just the village came together. We as parents, you know, work very hand in hand with educators, with speech therapists, with professionals. And we say, okay, looking at this child as an individual, this is how they learn. This is how they process things. This is what we're going to need to do specifically to bring out the very best in him. So I have years worth of like IEPs. And when I was starting to write my book, I referenced them and I was like, oh my God, like, look at all the challenges that this child just overcame. You know, this is the same child that when he was 3 years old, I was told he might not mentally develop past the age of 13. So I was just crying tears of joy. I want to give him this book. And then it took a life of its own. I was like, this book has greater meaning. It serves a greater purpose. And that's when I decided I'm going to just be a self-published Latina. I'm not going to lie to you. I started reaching out to, you know, a few publishing companies, not the big ones, but more the ones that really uplifted Latina voices. And unfortunately, I didn't, you know, get much feedback. And it was really disappointing at the time. I was like, talk to me for 5 minutes, at least get to hear the passion in my voice, at least get to hear why I want to do this, at least listen to me as to why I believe that this is something that the world needs to see. So when I didn't hear back from anybody, you know, I was disappointed for a day or two. And then I said, I'm just going to do this myself as a Latina, as an immigrant, as a mommy. I'm just going to do this myself because the world needs to see this.
And so you were talking about the challenges that Frank had when he was a child, but there are also challenges that you overcame as well. Like you mentioned just a while ago, you were told that he would not develop mentally past the age of 13. And you actually mention in the book, you went through a period of mourning, and yet you were still able to, you do what you have to do. You have to pick yourself up and you have to find a way forward. And I'm wondering if you were able to find any methods of support, because I know that sometimes when you hear about individuals with autism, you don't think of it being in a Latino community. So I'm wondering if you had any support from any Latino organizations or other Latino families who might have maybe viewed this culturally from a different perspective to sort of help you along.
Yeah, no, it was a very isolating time. We're talking about 15 years ago, right? And I lived in a multi-generational family. So my abuelitos, who are Frank's bisabuelos, they, you know, saw him as enfermito. Autism is definitely something that continues to be misunderstood. And, you know, that would irk me a little bit. I'm like, no está enfermito. He just sees the world in a different way. He just experiences the world in a different way. He just has to learn a different way. And we need to adapt to him. And eventually, that's what ended up happening. Our family adapted to Frankiecito. But it was very isolating. It was very, very lonely. And even getting his diagnosis, you know, at the time, his father, who is Latino, he's Mexican-American, he didn't want to accept that there was something different about Frank. And I would tell him, I was like, I feel like Frank is not speaking, you know, at the same level the other kids his age are. I feel that Frank is not really trying to engage with us. He's not really connecting with us. And part of the stigma there was just, you know, oh, no, he's fine. Oh, everything's okay. Just, you know, let it be. And I was like, no, like in my heart, I knew, you know, something was happening and it was my job to figure it out. So eventually we got the diagnosis and it was much more grim than I expected. So definitely a lot of mourning, definitely, you know, some denial. But as the woman and the mom, I was like, I have to bring out the best in my child. There's nothing wrong with my child. I have to just kind of like figure out how to get the best version of him. You know, unfortunately at the time, like I said, I didn't really have much of a support system other than the professionals, which in reality, it was a big village that I was able to assemble. It was all of, you know, the special education teachers. It was all of the para educators. It was the speech pathologists. It was all the therapists. We have had a revolving door of just specialists who have poured their all into my son. And if it wasn't for them walking along this journey, he would not be where he is today. So that's why I figured this book, it not only celebrates my son's milestone of graduating from high school, but it's also a thank you to everybody who did not give up on him, who believed in him, who taught me what the best way of just like raising him would be. And I just owe them a million things. And this is a tribute to them as well.
And what I think is great about the book is it's told in the first person. Frankiecito is the one who's telling this story. And he's saying, I don't really talk a whole lot, but he still manages to tell his story in here. So how did you end up channeling, you know, Frank's inner voice in telling this story?
And I did struggle with that. If I'm saying that he didn't talk much, then how is it that this whole story can be based off of like just his perspective, right? This book really is based off of real life events and his inability to maybe just speak as much as other kids, or just the fact that he needed a lot more resources. It didn't mean that he was incapable. It just means that what might take a, you know, neurotypical child 10 minutes, maybe it's going to take Frank an hour. And it's okay. But I saw my son work so hard to, you know, where he is today. And it's just a point of pride for me that not only did we assemble the right team, this mega team that helped them carry him to where he is today, but that he also put in the work. You know, that's something that, you know, I'm constantly telling him, you know, I will never underestimate you. I will continue to believe in you. Even when the world may not believe in your dreams, we're going to like figure it out and we're going to figure it out together. And I hope that this is the kind of, you know, message. It's like for parents, fight like hell. Don't let a diagnosis define your child. You know, my son's story of success is going to be different than other kids' story of success. And that's okay. But you just have to keep fighting so that, you know, you're getting the best out of your child on a day-to-day basis. And that's where we are today.
Angelina Dumero is a writer, an advocate, and the author of Frankiecito's World, a children's picture book inspired by her own son, Frank, who's on the autism spectrum. When we come back, Dumero hopes her book helps explain why living with autism should not be seen as a setback.
difference doesn't mean deficient. It just means, you know, different. But we all shine in it in our own special way.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Support for this podcast of Fronteras comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Franquisito is a 7-year-old boy living with autism. He tells his story in the children's picture book, Franquisito's World. It's written by Frank's mom, Angelina Dumero, a journalist, public servant, and advocate. The real Frank is now a freshman at a community college, far exceeding doctors' expectations when he was first diagnosed at age 3. The Franquisito of the book is a smiling, brown-skinned boy who tells listeners he does things at his own speed and shines in his own unique way. He lives with his extended Salvadoran-American family. Prime colors dominate the pages of the book: blues, reds, yellows, and greens. These are the colors of the symbol for autism awareness, a multicolored puzzle piece. The illustrations in Franquisito's World are by California artist Ana Alvarado. Dumero explains how she met and collaborated with Alvarado for Franquisito's World.
Oh my God. So since I'm an indie, you know, author, I was like, how am I going to bring this book to life? And I'm like, okay, what are the things I must have? I must at least have someone to be an editor. So I had to pay for at least that, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, but I also need to have illustrations. And they have to be just beautiful. And they have to be bold. And they have to be representative of my culture. And then I remember working with Ana Alvarado. I'm a public servant with the city of Los Angeles. I've been working with them for over 10 years. One of the events that I put out years ago was a Latina conference. It was a women's empowerment conference. And I stumbled upon Ana. And I was like, oh my God, look at the flowers. Look at the butterflies. Look at like the Latinidad, the feminidad, just everything that she stands for. And, you know, even like some of her pieces are centered around like, you know, a lot of immigrant themes, right? Immigrant families. And I reached out to her and I'm like, hey, I'd love to be able to collaborate. Can we do something for this women's conference? She did not hesitate. That's another guerrera. She's a go-getter. So then when it came time to doing my book, and I want it to be beautiful, I want the illustrations to be just as beautiful as the words that are coming from my heart. And how can we make that happen? And I was like, Ana, Anita, she's the only one who can do this. And I called her up and I was like, Ana, you're probably going to say no, but I just have to ask, can you please consider doing my children's book? And she's all like, you know, I really don't do children's book. It's just like a different skill. Like, I know I can do it, but I'm really, but then she's like, you know what? This is personal to you, and it's personal to me too. One of her goddaughters also has autism. So between, you know, myself and between Ana and just having that connection, not just with each other as two hardworking, go-getting, you know, Latinas, but just the fact that we have the connections to just autism and just the way she explains every page, it was magic. And I trust her with my eyes closed. And it just became one of those things where we formed a bond throughout this process as well that went deeper than, you know, the 10 years or so that we've known each other. So it's very special. And I am Salvadoran American. And I was like, hey, let's throw in some little Easter eggs in there. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to put in the Salvadoran flag. And I was like, yeah, that'd be great. And I'm like, hey, my grandparents used to listen to this old school radio. I'm like, please throw in like an old school radio in there. She's like, you got it. We're going to do that. And I was like, my abuelito used to grow papayas like in front of our house. And she's like, I'm going to throw in some papayas. I'm going to throw in some elote because my grandpa, you know, grew corn too. And then my grandma's big on the flowers. And she's like, and lots of flowers. I was like, yes, flowers. And let's do the butterflies, the evolution, the transformation. Every page has a story. And I could never do it justice the way that she does. But I could say that to be able to find someone, an illustrator, who cared as much as I do, who poured in as much of that love and care and attention, It's just everything to me.
And another Easter egg I found is one of the teachers who's teaching Frankisito. He's got your book in front of him.
I thought that was so funny. And that was her idea. That was so clever. I'm like, oh my God, Anita, you're just amazing. So that's kind of like what this book is about. You know, it's just very like subtle. It's very intentional. The overarching theme is just autism awareness, acceptance. But it's also about fostering, you know, a world that's more inclusive outside of just, you know, April for Autism Awareness Month. This tribute to my roots. This tribute to my abuelitos, because, you know, I was a single mom at the time and I had to go to work. My grandparents like just played such a huge role raising Frank. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. And they also had their challenges. You know, they were much older because they were my grandparents. So they're his great grandparents. But man, like they never skipped a beat. They figured out how to communicate with Frank. It was hard enough to communicate with Frank in English because his speech was so limited. And then throw in the Spanish in the mix. You know, they had to learn how to like communicate, like, ¿quieres comer? You know, like, and they would do like their own little sign language. And it was just so tender. And it was just so beautiful. It's just authentic. And I think that's what is so special about my book, is that it's about everyday moments. It's about everyday life. It's about, you know, seeing special needs, not as a illness or a disease or something that's wrong, but rather like seeing it as beauty and joy, and difference doesn't mean deficient. It just means, you know, different, but we all shine in it in our own special way. So that's why I'm so beyond happy of what we were able to put together, from the storytelling, the themes, the visuals. And I hope it's something that resonates with schools, with libraries. That I want to be in those spaces. Like, I really do, because I feel like this book, it's not just for families, you know, living with autism. It's just as importantly for the kids who don't have, you know, autism, who may not be special needs, to show them, like, introduce them. This is what autism could look like. You know, this is how making a connection for someone like Frank could look like. It's different than what you're used to. This is just the way that it is. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't want to talk to you. It just means that there are moments where he just needs to pause and recharge, and it's okay. And that's all I want to be able, you know, to bring to the schools and the libraries, is that inclusion is important, because it's going to make for better time in the playground, better time in the classrooms, and just a kinder overall world. That's just all I'm trying to do.
So when you gifted your son the book, what was his reaction?
It was a very typical, you know, Latino boy reaction. He looked at him, he's like, And then he walked away, but I could tell that he was kind of like taking it all in. Even during, like, when I was writing the book, right, I made sure that I got his okay first. I was like, hey, Frank, like, I was going to gift you this for, you know, graduation, but now I kind of want to do it as a book. Is that okay? And is it okay to name it like this? And is it okay to talk to the media and tell them about your journey? And he has been okay with it every step of the way. So, you know, very supportive child. I love him for that. But, you know, during the process, he would just kind of check in, like, hey, so, like, how's that book coming along? Like, hey, like, my tías are wondering about the book. So I was like, okay, he is interested, but I'm not going to be like shoving it down his throat. So, but it's very typical, you know, 18-year-old, you know how it goes.
Well, you know, autism has been in the news. There's a lot of mixed reaction. A lot of people who have individuals with autism in their family, they appreciate the fact that it's being brought up more in conversation, but they might not appreciate so much the sort of additional stigmas that may be presented by some officials in government. So I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts you'd like to share.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when Frank was diagnosed with autism, I think the rates back then was 1 out of 60 kids, right? And today, I think it's 1 out of 31, somewhere along the lines of there. And I've definitely been, you know, I'm watching the news, and as a communicator, I listen very closely to the messaging. So while I'm super supportive of, we need more research, we need to know, you know, more, it really does need to be backed by science and real data, right? And I'm not a professional. I mean, I'm just a mommy, but I'm really like big on that. But when I hear certain people, use words like illness. And I'm like, oh, no, like, it's not an illness. It's not something that you're going to, you know, cure. It sounds so outdated. I'm like, I can let my grandparents, like, I'll let it pass. They're in their 80s and they say things like enfermito, but we should know better by now, right? This is not an illness. And this is just about differences. And it's about empathy and kindness. So when I see things like that, it really does just kind of like trigger me as a mommy, which is why I feel that books like this are more important like now than ever, so that we can make them part of the broader conversation and not just in April during Autism Awareness Month. I feel like this is something that we need to be talking about very openly, like in our schools, in our libraries, in our households. If Latino families can see this book and they see, you know, this beautiful village of family, of educators and of helpers that are coming here to rally behind this child, we're shifting the narrative to something that's more beautiful, to something that's narrative of acceptance and not necessarily of like, you know, something's wrong. But definitely those are things that I never like to hear, and it really does bother me. But it's also about, you know, educating folks, and that's why I hope my book can be a tool.
Angelina Dumoureau is a journalist, advocate, and author of Frankicito's World, a children's picture book that tells the story of her son Frank, who lives with autism, and how he interacts with the world. It's illustrated by Ana Alvarado. See pictures from the book at tpr.org. You've been listening to Fronteras. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. Chiranga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.